You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. Great people who deserve some thanks, like Typical Tyrant, Cornaforos, Matt Jans, Menach, Nicholas D, Nick Patrick, Rich M, Zerotio, Robert Y, and Beef Squatch. You can join this awesome team and get some great rewards over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And by Gamer Sensei. Upping your game in Hearthstone can be tough, but with the right coach, anything's possible. You can go to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com and support the show with your purchase today. Hello and welcome to episode 135 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I'm booming around by myself. Boom, 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 boom. I don't really know what that means, but it sounded right when I was making the show notes and stuff. So I'm so excited to be with you all. It was so much fun making the review episodes happen. Steve was great as always, and it was great hearing all of your feedback also. So thank you for reaching out and letting me know that you listened, that you enjoyed them. My goodness, we got some things right. We got some things very wrong. It is as consistent as always that things are very inconsistent. It just goes to show you, you never know what is going to happen when these cards actually enter the fray of Standard and Wild and everything out there. So it is a really fun time right now. We've got several more fun weeks where things truly aren't yet settled. And honestly, with as unsettled as things were leading into this expansion, I mean, more unsettled than in my opinion, ever in the history of the game. You know, it was a perfect time for things to just continue in that stride. So lots of powerful stuff out there, but nothing that has broken the game quite yet and just is reigning supreme. So this episode, we'll be looking through all of the first meta reports from all of our favorite places, and I'll give you guys my best recommendations for what to take and how to bring things down around you. I guess bring your opponents down so that you can rise up the ladder to the very, very top. But before we get there, I got to tell you why I'm happy today, and oh my goodness, am I happy. This weekend, many of you know, I think I mentioned in the last episode, my wife and daughter went out to visit my wife's parents. And so this was a weekend that I had to myself. And usually what I do when my wife leaves is I just go bananas with so much other stuff. So one of the easy things, like I mentioned, is that I would do some streams, and I did have some. Was so thankful for everyone who came out for those. I always have a blast streaming and wish I had more margin to do it. But unfortunately, this is just a season where I don't. So I still love jumping on whenever I can, and I'm thankful to be able to do that. But on Thursday night, I'm streaming, and my buddy Rod Johnson over at Tier 5, he's listening to me talk about how my wife's gone for the weekend and stuff, and he messages there in chat, and he says, I'm going to come down and visit you. Because Rod just lives up in Denver, and I'm down in Colorado Springs, and I was like, dude, that's awesome. Very cool. So Saturday, he calls me while he's on his way, and he says, hey, so I have some friends who are also podcasters who are in town. You mind if I invite them to hang out with us? Like, sure, of course. Love to get to know them. Little do I know, I find out very soon that this is Blazin' Bob, which some of you may know from Watchpoint Radio, which is an Overwatch podcast. And his wife is Mel, who is the one of the co-hosts on The Cavalry Show, which is another podcast, another Overwatch podcast. And then both of them, along with Andres, who's on Omnic Lab and used to be on Coin Concede, the three of them host Al Recap, which is an Overwatch League daily show or weekly show during the season. So the two of them just moved to Colorado Springs, and I was like, well, yeah, I want to get to know them. So they came over. We had a blast. I'm so thankful I got to know them a little bit, and now they're neighbors. So, and then Rod goes on to say, hey, by the way, Saucy Mailman lives near you. I'm like, what? And if you guys don't know Saucy Mailman, he's a Hearthstone streamer on Twitch, and he and Rod have a gamer podcast called Geek Aid with Geeksay. I knew that Saucy Mailman lived in Colorado, but I had no clue he was in my city. So he was like, do you mind if he comes over? I was like, of course, come on over. So he comes over, I get to know him, and I'm like, dude, we got to hang out. So I'm just really super thankful. Got to know a friend in real life that I've, you know, met online, and got to meet some new friends who are kind of in the same space. So it was just a blast hanging out with them. I also made, for the very first time, I tried my hand at making ribs. And I don't mean to brag or anything, but if you listen to the latest episode of Geek Aid, you'll hear from Saucy Mailman himself how they were. So that was just, man, I had a blast hanging out with all of them. It was a very busy weekend, but honestly, like, it's just restorative to get away for a little bit, to get to kind of work on some stuff. And actually, I'm starting my the new job at my company this week. So really excited to get going on that. I think it's going to be a great fit. The team's really excited, and I'm really excited. I think it's going to stretch me in some really new ways. So lots of good stuff there. And of course, I'm happy because, you know, things are going well in Hearthstone. I feel like it is either feast or famine on the ladder for me. So I have had a few days this past week where, like, I could not lose. And I rose all the way to rank 1 and 4 stars. I was 2 wins away from getting to Legend. But I've had other days where I can't win. I can't buy a win to save my life. And so I have actually fallen down to rank 2 and 2 stars as I'm recording this. So hopefully I can make it back up. I'm gonna keep pushing because, you know, I'm so close. I just need a good streak. I need to kind of figure things out because it seems like my experience is that things are either hyper aggressive or hyper control, and so it's really tough to figure out a deck that's fit for the latter. But I'm getting ahead of myself because that's our main topic, so I don't want to give away too much there. Let's talk about some news because, you know, as I was getting ready to record, I thought, well, there's not much going on. You know, Hearthstone's out. Many of you may be thinking the same thing right now, but there is a massive thing happening today as this episode releases. Dr. Boom's Puzzle Labs are going to be active. And I love how Blizzard has decided to do this with Hearthstone, where they release the expansion and then they release the single player content a bit delayed. Gives us a chance to just play with all the new cards, because honestly, that's all I want to do when it comes out. And they've done this before where the single player content and the expansion release at the same time. And I just feel a bit torn because it's like, well, I want to get that done, but I really want to just go hang out on ladder. So I like this approach where they give us some time to enjoy the single player content, not feel rushed or anything. And then I can, go and enjoy this brand new mode, which is very, very different. So it's very puzzle centric. When you log in and go into the Puzzle Labs, you are going to have a few different categories. So some of them are like Find Lethal or Don't Die. Or one of the kind of odd ones is Make Your Board Mirror Your Opponent's Board. And the whole point of all of these, like some of them, like Finding Lethal, that's something that you do need to do well in Hearthstone in order to, you know, continue to get better and improve. But something like just getting the exact same board state, that's not actually going to help you in a ladder game. But it's sort of like I remember when I played saxophone all through high school and college, or like when I was first learning it way back in the middle school, elementary days. You do these like scales and exercises and, you know, stuff like that. And it was always super boring. I never enjoyed doing it, but looking back, I get it. That the reason you did that is that it would help you to, you know, learn how to manipulate notes on your instrument. It would teach you, you know, how it feels to go from note to note and stuff. So there are going to be very few songs that you actually play that have a note for note scale in it. But those skills are still going to help you when you jump into real stuff. So I think these puzzle labs are very similar where, you know, even the ones like the board state, it's not exactly going to be a skill that is, you know, I don't think there's ever going to be a point in a ladder game where you're trying to mimic your opponent. But the things that you learn and how like different cards interact with one another, I'm really excited to see these because I'm sure some of these puzzles are going to help you understand interactions that are much trickier than they seem. Like, you know, there's simple things like when you've got a minion on your side of the board that you just needed to attack to get lethal, and they're able to freeze that minion for some reason. You may not necessarily think that the Silence a Minion spell or minion in your hand would be helpful at all, but you, as you play, you get to know, wait a minute, if I silence my own minion, it loses the freeze and I can attack for lethal and then I win. So I'm sure there are going to be lots of things like that. I'm really excited. Hearthstone did release an entire blog and a video going more in depth, but I mean, as you're listening to this, this should be live. I think it's going to go live around 10 or 11 Pacific time. That's usually when they release stuff. On Tuesday, August 21st. So it may be released, or if you're listening to it a bit early, it's coming very, very soon. So, but you can go check out this video if you want to learn some of the stuff. And there's going to be a card back for you if you complete all 100 plus puzzles. And after you complete all those categories, you will unlock Dr. Boom's secret lab, where you're going to go off against him in some really intense puzzles that they said. I loved the story that they told. Dave Kosak spent over an hour trying to figure out one of the puzzles on his own because he really, really wanted to. So I expect a lot of fun. You know, you'll probably be able to go online and find other people who have beaten these puzzles, and you can find how they did it if you really just want to blaze through. But challenge yourself. Try this out. You know, once you've beaten them, you're not really going to go back and be able to replay it necessarily. So give yourself the gift of challenge. And once you get that card back, you can really know, like, man, I made it. So really excited about that. And of course, as all single player content has been for the past year now, it's completely free. So whether you are a free-to-play player or not, you can go in and enjoy all this, get that card back for yourself. And also, you'll get three more free Boomsday packs as another gift for logging in. So really lots of reason to go hang out and do that. I've got another point on here that isn't exactly news, but I had to share with you a very special tip that I just stumbled across today. And honestly, I can't exactly remember. I know for sure I was opening some Boomsday packs, and something happened that I opened, I believe, an Epic that I knew I had a Golden of. And I realized, wait, if I go to my collection and dust the non-Golden one, that's like, I hope I'm not misspeaking. I'm pretty sure it's 100 dust, right? So I thought, I need to go in and do this. And it hit me, how many other Golden Epic cards do I have that I have two non-Golden cards just hanging around? So I went through all of my standard Epics and dusted any extras that I have. I'm kind of a Golden snob. Like, I know I've got some friends like my buddy Cream Puff, who he just, like, he bleeds Golden cards. I don't necessarily go all out on everything, but man, I do like the ones that I've pulled. And every now and then I'll craft one that's super special. But I was going through and I was surprised how many there were. And I was thinking, man, this is actually going to add up quite a bit to be a good amount of dust. And so I thought, well, let me do this with my rares. I went through in wild and dusted all of the rares. And honestly, like, afterwards, I started thinking, I don't play wild as often. And there are some cards in wild that just have never seen play. And it's like, those are probably never going to see play. But I still couldn't quite bring myself to dust the golden version. So, and then after that, I was on such a roll that I was like, well, let me go through my commons and do that too. I mean, it's just five dust, but maybe it'll add up. So after everything was said and done, and I honestly did the minimum, right? Guarding your goldens like I did, I'm going to get the least amount of dust possible. And I got 7,000 dust. To put that in perspective, that's nearly six normal legendaries, or I guess nearly three golden legendaries if I really wanted to craft those. So I want to encourage you, if this is something you haven't done in a while like me, and especially if you've been playing for a hot second, you are probably going to have quite a few classic cards, some double golden and double regular. I had several rares that was the case for, because, you know, doing my tavern brawls every week, I get that classic pack and that adds up a lot over time. So I really want to encourage you, if you're strapping for a little dust, if you really want to do what it takes to maybe get an extra legendary from this set or something, go through your collection and check your duplicates. I hope that it's helpful, because honestly, it's something that doesn't cost you a penny. And if you find just a few, at least it's helpful. You know, you'll get some extra dust from that. But let me know on Twitter if you did that and how much dust you got, because honestly, I mean, 7,000, if I had known that 7,000 dust was just sitting in my collection, I would have done this a long time ago. So Just want to encourage you with that. And as we move into our sponsor break, like before we hit that, I want to let you know that I'm giving away 15 Boomsday packs now, like I mentioned last week with my friend Lisa over at A Table Full of Joy. And I know many of you have entered so far, but I'm sure many of you have not. So really want to encourage you, go over to thehappyhearthstone.com, click on the link for the show notes for this episode, episode 135, and you'll see the there's like a little module in there. It's really easy to find. It's near the top. And you just do some simple social things like follow us on Twitter or sign up for a mailing list. And we will we'll enter you into the drawing so many times. And we're going to give away 15 Boomsday packs to somebody. So really excited to do that. Really thankful for Lisa for partnering with me on that. So go again to thehappyhearthstone.com and find the link for these show notes and you might win. I hope that you do. And for our sponsor break today, I wanted to tell a quick story because this week, with the extra time with my wife out, I decided to invest in some coaching with Phenom. And many of you who've been listening to the show know that I've gotten some coaching from Phenom before. He's a pro level player. He's a combo extraordinaire. He's very, very good at combo decks, which I am not so good at. So I found him on Gamer Sensei and was really excited to get some lessons because, you know, coaching is one of those things that will always help you in one way or another. And Gamer Sensei really is the best place online to find the best players who are the best at coaching. And I really want to encourage you, if you've never given them a look, it's really worth it. It's something that I believe in so much, I use it myself. Because there's nothing quite like the one-on-one attention of being able to be coached by somebody who's really good at this that's going to help you up your game. So if you go again to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, click on the link in the show notes for Gamer Sensei. That'll support the show if you make any purchases there. And again, like I said, I've just benefited so much from them that it's something that's really easy for me to recommend. And if you feel like you're hitting a wall, like you're just banging your head against a ladder and not making improvements like you want to, so go click on the link in the show notes and check it out yourself. I promise there's something that'll fit your budget there. And even if you just try out an hour and see how it works, that can be really helpful for finding a coach that really meshes with your play style and stuff like that. So go check it out. And let's go ahead and jump into our mega meta analysis breakdown. I do want to start it off today by letting you know, just kind of as a disclaimer, that this early on in the meta, it is really tough to tell what's going on. And that can certainly be frustrating, especially when, like I said earlier, I have days where I'm just doing so well and days that I can't buy a win to save my life. It's tough to really find the amount of consistency that you want to. But with an ever-evolving meta, you have to recognize that this is just, it's part of the game right now, honestly. And as we were coming into this expansion with so much experimenting still happening the week of the release, you've got to expect that things are going to continue to morph and change day by day. And so, you know, I always make the recommendation that if you're somewhere in that 25 to 10 rank level and you really want to aggressively rank up, finding a consistent aggro deck is going to be your best bet. And learning to play that deck extremely well is going to help you. Going from ranks 10 to 5, I think I heard this from my friends at Coin Concede. They put it that you need to learn one deck really, really well, and that'll get you there. And then from rank 5, or you need to learn the rules and play by the rules to get from 10 to 5. And then from 5 to Legend, you need to learn how to break the rules. And I think that's really true. As I continue to, you know, do my best to get from 5 to Legend, it is a section of the ladder where things aren't necessarily what they seem constantly. The decks that you come up against, the decisions that are made, you know, turn by turn. So let's go ahead and jump into some of this. I'm going to start off with, of course, you know, my typical favorite, the Vicious Syndicate Report. These guys just do such a great job of breaking down all of the different archetypes. And I was actually really impressed to see it so fast off the top. So as usual, we'll break down all of the tier one decks, but you'll find very quickly this Vicious Syndicate list, the tier one lists, there are a lot of them. And so we won't be able to talk through all of them, but we'll talk through a few and kind of go through there. So topping off the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report is Odd Rogue, followed by Even Warlock, Even Shaman, Death Rattle Hunter, Spell Hunter, Token Druid, Control Warlock, Big Druid, Zoolock, Odd Paladin, and Big Spell Mage. Oh my goodness, that is so many decks at tier one. Typically, you got maybe two or three. So I want to read this this discussion paragraph that kind of explains why there are so many. They said here, you'll notice the large number of decks displaying a high win rate higher than 52%. While a large tier one group is very normal at the beginning of the expansion due to the prevalence of poorly performing archetypes, the Boomsday has been special in this regard. Anduin has gone full Clown Fiesta, and his decks have such atrocious win rates that he's been boosting everyone else in the field. Once the meta settles down and the low win rate decks completely fade away, you'll see a more fierce competition at the top meta decks, as the top meta decks see their win rates globally drop and the elite company at the top becomes smaller. Note that the field is most competitive at ranks 1 through 4, which is where players are least inclined to experiment and most inclined to play Zoo. So that's what's going on here. I'm sure many of you can relate. During those first few days of the Boomsday meta, Priest was around quite a bit. People were trying out the brand new APM Priest. People were trying Mechathune Priest. Those are really hard decks to play. In fact, on this report list, Mechathune Priest and Combo Priest are the very bottom of tier 4, which is the bottom. Combo Priest has a 36%, is that what that said? Yeah, 36% win rate. So these are extremely difficult to play. Mechathune Priest can be targeted by like Demonic Project, and even just people who have seen it played but don't know the exact order at the end, like the order of the cards that you play really matters because the death rattles will trigger at different times based off of that. So still not a huge surprise to see Odd Rogue at the top. Odd Rogue has not changed much from the original during the Witchwood. I mean, the big change really was that Myra's Unstable Element was added because it just gives them the reload of their hand that they really need, and they don't typically care about fatigue at that point. And then Blood Knight has been a really interesting tech, and you're seeing this in some Zoo lists also. Blood Knight is the classic card, the 3 mana 3/3 that gains +3/+3 for every divine shield, and it removes those divine shields while it does that. So with Giggling Inventor being the most commonly played card from the Boomsday expansion right now, Blood Knight is doing some work, let's just say. And in fact, it's pretty common in Odd Rogue right now to see it playing Giggling Inventor too. So you've at least got the chance of getting your own guys. The Argent Squires also will help with that too. So Odd Rogue just wants to go face, and it wants to go really hard. I've played quite a bit of Zoolock this month, and it has been so aggravating to come up against Odd Rogue as that list. I heard somebody say that it's really due to the upgraded hero power for Valyra, gives her kind of a mini Fiery War Axe. And that's the best way that I've heard it said. Fiery War Axe, before it was nerfed, was 2 mana. And back then, it was just the card to play early. And now you've got a hero power that gives you that -1 attack. But especially like against Zoolock, you got a lot of stuff like the Flame Imps, Fireflies, you got plenty of stuff that can just be taken down with a ping like that. So no surprises there, honestly, for me in seeing that. And Even Warlock is another deck that I've played a lot of so far this month. I actually had an 11 win streak from rank 4 to 2 with it early on in the meta. And I think the key with Even Warlock, it hasn't seen a ton of change either. I think the list I was playing, I was running 2 Demonic Projects just so that you can basically delete the combo decks from being able to win. And it runs 2 Sacrificial Pact, which may not seem on surface level to make a lot of sense. But the idea is when you play Demonic Project, you're giving your opponent a demon that more than likely, unless they're a warlock, they don't really want to play, but they'll just unload their hand anyway. Sacrificial Pact will get rid of that demon and give you an extra 5 health. So it's a removal spell for whatever minion was transformed, kind of. And then on top of that, whatever they choose to play. So pretty crazy. Now, Even Shaman kind of surprised me. Even Shaman has been a little bit under the radar so far this expansion. They got some stuff like the Nimbus, the Menacing Nimbus that gives you the random elemental. They're playing, what else is on here? They've mostly gone pretty heavy on the elemental synergy with Fireplume Phoenixes and Kalamos. But now they're also running Arcane Dynamo, which is the 6-mana 3/4 that you get to discover a spell that costs 5 or more. And even Shaman is so good at flooding the board, being able to find Bloodlust off of that Arcane Dynamo is massively, massively huge. So pretty cool list there. I haven't done much experimenting with that. But yeah, those are the top three that I really wanted to talk about here. Of course, they said that Warlock is by far the most played at the time of this report. 25.3% of all ranks were playing that, with Zoo at a huge 14.5% of everyone playing that, which 14.5% of Zoolock is a larger demographic than the second most played class. So you've got a Warlock really firmly on top, with Zoo kind of leading the way there. I was surprised to see Odd Rogue at less than 5%, because I've seen so much of it up at my ranks, but that might actually change. I love that they have a distribution. If you haven't actually looked at these reports, you really need to. You just go to viciousyndicate.com. But they'll actually, you can just click to see, they default to all ranks on that, but you can choose ranks 4 to 1, because rank 5, there's a lot of experimenting, and Legend, there's a ton of experimenting. So 4 to 1 really gives you a good idea for what people are tryharding with. Zoo actually goes up there at 17%, and then you can look at Legend, where there's much more experimentation, and there are different things that are actually better than others. But Priest is finally kind of tailoring off. It is the least played class right now, so Warrior and Shaman are actually not in a bad place, and I'd be really surprised if Warrior hasn't seen a huge spike since this report came out. So skipping ahead, there's a lot. There's way too much to go through, unfortunately. The Vicious Syndicate meta breaker that they reported, they said, of course, that Odd Rogue is the best aggressive deck that you can find on here. But also, Malygos Druid has a lot of versatility. Being able to clear the board, having the potential for the very end of the game to just destroy your opponent if they haven't tanked up too much is really devastating. And then also Deathrattle Hunter is something that I really think can cut through a lot of different lists. You know, you've got your Zoo Warlock and Odd Rogue that are leading the way as far as aggressive decks are concerned. And then on the other side of things, you've got Control Warlock and Odd Warrior that are just very late game centric and just trying. And actually, I've seen quite a bit of Big Spell Mage too, which is doing the same. So those decks are kind of on the far end there. And Hunter is a really interesting class where they're kind of able, whether it's Deathrattle Hunter or even Spell Hunter, I'm actually going to do some testing with Spell Hunter, I think, this week. They're able to manage the early game easy enough with stuff like Candleshot, Wandering Monster, Explosive Traps. But then in the late game, they can really lead to some backbreaking situations with stuff like, I mean, Deathsark or Rexxar has just so much late game potential, and Rock Dalar getting a ton of stuff that can clear the board. So, and Deathrattle Hunter specifically, being able to manipulate Mechanical Whelps and the Devilsaur Eggs, which were doing just fine before that happened, it's pretty insane. And I actually, while I was playing Odd Warrior, I went up against a Deathrattle Hunter who had 4/7/7 mech dragons on turn 6, I think. And I had nothing to do against that. So yeah, those were kind of their three recommendations. Again, it's too early just to say this is the one deck to play, because truly, there's just a ton of diversity right now. But those are the three that they kind of recommended. Let's go ahead and move over to HS Replay. So HS Replay, if you haven't checked out in a while, their meta systems are updating, I believe it's daily. And so they do a great job of showing sort of, what's been happening since Boomsday hit. And as I'm recording this, they're reporting a tier one at the very top. Again, they've got a very high, a lot of decks at tier one here. They've got Odd Rogue, then Even Shaman, an Odd Paladin, Spiteful Druid following that up. You thought Spiteful was dead, didn't you? Even Paladin, and then Secret Hunter, Deathrattle Hunter, and Spell Hunter. I said Even Paladin and then didn't even blink. What in the world is wrong with me? I missed this. So we're gonna investigate a little of this Even Paladin thing here. What in the world? So I actually did see one Even Paladin list, and Yeah, I was thinking, there's no way that this is that list. Okay, this list is actually funky. So you are getting a very hot take from me here because I haven't seen this. So a lot of this looks very similar to pre-nerf Even Paladin, right? So you got the Dry Gulch Jailers, Knife Jugglers, Vicious Scalehide, Blessing of Kings, Consecration, Serenite Chain Gang. You got the Lightfuse Stegodons there, the Glass Knight, True Silver Champion, Spike Ridge Steed, Sunkeeper Tirim, Tyrion Forgering, and you've got one copy of Silver Sword. That's the 8-mana 3-3 weapon that buffs your board by +1/+1. But at the very bottom end of this deck, you've got Crystal Smith Kangor. Kangor? I don't know how to say it. He's the legendary, the 2-mana 1-2 with Divine Shield and Lifesteal that your healing's doubled. And then two copies of Crystallogy, which is the 2-mana spell, draw 2/1 attack minions from your deck. So that's a really good card for this deck, because you can get Kangor, obviously. You can get the Dry Gulch Jailers, the Vicious Scale Hides. I think that might be it. But there's enough in here that really makes a lot of sense there. And I didn't expect to see Hydrologists in this list also, so that's really interesting. Huh. Well, this is very interesting. I gotta say, I have not heard anybody talking about this list. I saw a crazy Even Paladin list that somebody posted that was actually running a copy of the Vorax. You may not remember that from Journey to Un'Koro. It's a 4-mana 3-3. After you cast a spell on this minion, summon a 1-1 plant and cast the spell on that minion as well. I've always thought it was a cool card, but just didn't make a lot of sense. But for a deck that's running a lot of buffs, like Blessing of Kings and Spike Ridge Steed, I mean, you get either of those on top of that, and that's insanity. So this is really, really interesting. And on the win rates for this deck, I'm seeing above, golly, 60% or above on everything except Warlock and Warrior. So it looks like this is just doing a really good job of shutting down the aggressive decks, especially. This is just great. I'm just kind of speechless, honestly. I did not expect to see Even Paladin. And I don't quite know why this is. I might do some more digging, but I've noticed that HS Replay's percentage win rates always seem a little bit odd to me. Hearing that an Even Paladin deck is that high, I mean, the truth is that there's probably not a ton of people who are playing Even Paladin right now. So maybe it's just some really good players and they're able to get that 54% win rate. Odd Rogue and Even Shaman, we already talked about at the top. Odd Paladin, obviously, still a very good deck. This deck is doing even better with stuff like Giggling Inventor. We talked about it on the review episode, but that card just makes sense in any deck at all. But honestly, like the main list that I'm seeing here that's being played is just a straight up the exact same list from before. And you see this anytime expansions come out, that if you really want to be consistent and just want to storm up the ladder, that usually playing whatever was working before, there's not going to be anything necessary that you have to do. And you're probably going to come up against decks that are less refined. So just kind of by stature, you just automatically win those. So Odd Paladin's still a really aggressive deck. It tends to lose from what I've seen against Warlock. Well, I guess especially like the control list, just, you know, they prey on that kind of stuff. But Rogue especially, it's going to be able to just be more aggressive than those decks. And, you know, if you get the right level up turn, then you're just fine. So I was very sad. I was playing some Odd Warrior earlier today, came up against an Odd Paladin. I did not draw a single board removal until turn 5. I was finally able to brawl, but he followed up my brawl with adding 3 more, or I guess it must have been 4 more recruits, and then he leveled up for the second time. So that did not go so well. But typically that's a good, that's a really good matchup for the Warrior. So Odd Paladin, still a great choice if you're just looking to scream up the ladder. You can add in some Giggling Inventors. Even Ziliex can sometimes make it into there. And a lot of people actually have been running a mech package with Glotron, with the War Gears and the Bronze Gatekeepers. I don't know that those are really going to last for too much longer, because the Bronze Gatekeeper just seems like it's not helping you just completely exhaust the board. Odd Paladin was doing well beforehand, just being able to create a bunch of stuff, buff it up really quick, and just take the game. So I think that you'll probably see the mech package go away. The Giggling Inventor is especially good with Fungomancer, though, because it is hard to clear all three of those minions. Unless you got to file, sometimes you can do a little manipulation, but that's about the only tool that can do it pretty simply. So there's a good chance you're going to have some targets for that. And Fungomancer, I am a little bit sick of at this point, to be quite frank. I feel like every odd rogue opponent I've come up against has it on turn five, but that's part of the game. So I need to get better at targeting odd rogue with the deck I'm choosing. So Spiteful Druid is the other one on here that's really interesting to me. Again, really high win rate for that deck. That hasn't seen a ton of play. I think I saw one pro, and I can't remember who it was who was playing this. Really interesting that Forbiddenous Floop has made his way into this list, and it makes a lot of sense. After you play a Spiteful Summoner, Forbiddenous Floop becomes a 4-mana, 3/4 version of that, and the battle cry is all that you want anyway. So Forbiddenous Floop effectively becomes a third Spiteful Summoner. This list is also running Tending Tauren, which, to his credit, Wicked Good, when he sent me one of these, the Spiteful list, was like, hey, here's your boy, you know, because I really wanted to like this card when we were reviewing it. I just didn't quite know where it fit. And I think the Spiteful is a really interesting place for it, because the idea with Spiteful, you tend to want to build a board with a lot of tempo minions. And so being able to give all those minions +1/+1, that's perfectly fine. Or if you don't have that board yet, being able to get the 2/2s, that's great. So how much? That's 7/8 worth of stats for 6. Come on, that's so good. So I'm really glad he's finding a place. I see a Blood Knight in this list also. One thing that was really interesting was Crystallizer, and I haven't entered the conversation enough to really know what's being said, but like we mentioned on the review episode, this card was getting played at the pre-release so much just because it's a 1-mana 1/3. This is the epic minion that's Battlecry, deal 5 damage to your hero, gain 5 armor, which it cancels itself out essentially, right? I mean, and for this, for Druid and this list, there's nothing that takes advantage of the lack of health or the gaining armor. So in my mind, I kind of wonder, why are you just not playing Dire Mole if that's the case, you know? So I'm pretty sure you can. I guess maybe you don't mind if this is mind controlled less, because your opponent could take advantage of the beast synergy for Dire Mole. I don't know. That's the furthest extreme I can get to. But if you're missing your Spiteful Summoners, then you can go ahead and try out some Spiteful Druid. Looks like it's doing pretty well in matchups. Let's see real quick. Doing well against other Druids, against Hunters, Paladins, and Shaman. Not doing so hot against Rogue, Warlock, and Warrior, which in my experience are most of what you're seeing, most of what I'm seeing on the ladder at least. So, and I don't have Floop yet, so I'm really trying to keep myself from crafting anything. So I've already crafted too much, honestly, in my opinion. But Floop is one I would really like to try if I'm able to get him. So go try it out. Let me know what you think. That's most of what's here for the HS replay. So let's finally end it all with our friends over at Tempo Storm and their meta snapshot. So their tier one list looks a little bit different here. So we've seen Odd Rogue on the top of both Vicious Syndicate and HS replay. Tempo Storm has Togwaggle Druid at number one. Interesting. Followed up by Malygos Druid, Even Warlock, Zulok, Odd Rogue, and Tempo Shudderwalk Shaman. So This is a bit different. Their reasoning for Togwaggle Druid was surprising to me. You know, they said here, the meta is still unrefined. Most tempo and Mechathune decks require a lot more exploration. On top of that, most players have just been busy updating old powerful lists to become better, creating a friendly meta for Togwaggle Druid. And either way, Togwaggle Druid has temporarily taken control of the higher ranks, especially. Its major weakness is lack of tools to deal with sticky boards. Spreading Plague or Starfall could relieve a bit of pain, but they're not that great against Death Rattle or mech minions, obviously. So if those tempo decks like Death Rattle, Hunter, and Rogue are going to rise up, then Togwaggle Druid is going to suffer. And another issue obviously comes from Demonic Project, because if that happens, and really you just have to wait until the Dream Petal Florist has been played from Togwaggle Druid to know, okay, they've got at least one of their combo pieces in hand, and they probably don't have anything like the Arcane Tyrant that you don't want to hit. So Really interesting there. They've got the best matchups for Togwaggle Druid as Malygos Druid, Token Druid, Secret Hunter, Aggro Mage, Odd Rogue, and the combo Shudderwalk Shaman. So, I haven't played a lot of Togwaggle Druid so far. In fact, I think we have been seeing a lot less of it on the ladder lately. At least I have, because of Demonic Project. It seems like that has... Because you've got a... I don't know. You've got a good chance of seeing a Warlock at some point that has that. And probably in, you know, as many as one or two every five games, I would say. That seems to be at least as much as I'm coming up against an even or control lock. So with that kind of prevalence, you practically auto lose those matches, and that doesn't feel good at all. But the same honestly could be said of Malygos Druid, which is the second one on here. And was kind of surprised to see both of these Druid lists. I mean, obviously, Druid has done fine for itself. But these two lists really depend on things not being so aggressive. And I found too much aggro on the meta, or on the ladder, in the form of Odd Rogue and Zulok, for it to make much sense for me to play something that's so heavily combative like this, or combo oriented like this. They're putting the best matchups for Malygos Druid with even Warlock, Zulok, and Control Lock. So maybe if you're seeing a lot of Warlock, Malygos really is that good. I probably could bear to get some coaching on Mally Druid, because I have not been able to really make it work well. But I know it's a tough deck to play, but it's a really rewarding deck because you do so well. So the other deck on their tier one that I have to give a shout out to is the Tempo Shudderwalk Shaman. So this is the deck that Ike really pioneered, and he called it Good Shaman, which I just thought was hysterical. And I had a great win streak with this game. I think on the second day of the ladder, I went up from, I think it was like rank 5 to rank 3 or something with it. So Shudderwalk is not played in this deck list like the infinite combo loop of its predecessor in the Witchwood meta, or it's still around today too. But in this one, it's meant to really get a ton of value. So you've got Giggling Inventors. It'll summon those Annoyatrons. You've got Fungomancers, so it'll buff those Annoyatrons. You're playing Thrall Deathseer, so it'll actually evolve itself and whatever else is on the board. There's a lot of stuff that can really go crazy, and I'm glad that they labeled it as a tempo deck, because it really does feel like that. It's very minion-based. Lots of stuff going on, and it's really about getting the most value out of those minions. It also runs the Unstable Evolution, so, and Corridor Creepers, which, man, that's a combo. So being able to, trade stuff and then evolve it is pretty crazy. Just evolving Corridor Creepers, gives you a random 8-drop, which tends to be pretty good. So I really like that list a lot. They have its best win rates against Odd Paladin, Odd Rogue, Big Druid, and Togwaggle Druid. So really interesting there. I don't know that I agree that... Well, it's been a while since I've played. I guess this is the problem with playing so many decks after it's come out. I just feel like I've... I need to go back maybe and just try it out a little bit. Lots of great stuff there. I'm going to give you my recommendation for having a happy time on the ladder. You have a happy deck of the week. And in style with Vicious Syndicate, I want to give you a couple options, because truly there's just so much variety out there, and you've got to find something that works with your play style. So the first thing I'm going to recommend to you is Big Druid. And this was something that I saw as kind of a sleeper on the Vicious Syndicate report. Big Druid, according to their matchups, has really good win rates against all of the other Druid lists, against all Paladin decks, against all Warlock decks and Warrior decks. And Odd Rogue and Zulok are an even split with it. I guess I came up against too much just insane Odd Rogue and Zulok this morning when I was trying to play it. But I have had more games than not against Odd Rogue specifically, where they get a lot of very early game tempo and damage in. But at some point, if I've played right, I've gotten enough taunts on the board that they cannot get through what I have. And so it kind of surprised me at first, but now that I've played it out, it makes a lot of sense that you are on a timer and you have to get those taunts out quickly. But that's what Big Druid wants to do. It wants to ramp quick and get a ton of stuff on the board and just go face with it. So I've got to highly recommend it. It's, you know, and it's not just the aggressive decks that it does well against either. It's poised well against Spell Hunter, against Miracle Rogue, against Control Warrior and Control Lock, because those decks really want to stall late, and Big Druid just wants to, you know, get stuff out on the board quick and make do. I mean, if your opponent's at turn three or four and you're already at eight mana and you've got down a Lich King, it's tough for them to keep up with that oftentimes. So it's a really fun deck, and I'll post the, you know, the code for what I've been playing. And I got my coaching from Phenom on this list, so it was really fun getting his perspective on it. And it's done some work for me so far. So really want to recommend that. And also, like I mentioned, I want to recommend Hunter. This is a class that I've wanted to play a lot since Boomsday was released. I never felt like it was good enough until now to really go deep with. And you could choose Deathrattle Hunter or Spell Hunter here. The Deathrattle Hunter is getting a lot more play, so you're probably more likely to be able to get different lists or watch some streamers playing it. And this is the list that's running the Devilsaur Eggs and the Mechanical Whelps, like we talked about earlier. So according to Vicious Syndicate, again, with matchups, you're looking really good against Druid, everything except Token Druid. You're looking good against Warlock, everything except Zoo. And you're looking good against your mage and your other hunters. But really, as I'm looking at this, it's interesting because, you know, not having the great matchups with Odd Rogue and Zulok, I'm seeing so much of that that I feel like I can't play a deck that doesn't have some kind of advantage over those. It's not 100% of what I'm seeing, but it is a significant amount. And Spell Hunter, on the other hand, actually does have favorable matchups against both Odd Rogue and Zulok, as well as the rest of the Rogue category with Deathrattle and Miracle in there. The one thing that Spell Hunter really suffers against is Druid. So if you're seeing a lot of that, that may not be a good choice. But I actually got a Spell Hunter list worked up. So I'll share that and my recommendation for a Deathrattle Hunter if you want to try those. But that's what I recommend. You know, things are going to change so wildly. I would hate if, as this episode releases, that those are actually poor choices. I doubt that they will be. But the reality is that the rate that things change, it could. So I hope that you enjoy those, and I hope that they do well for you. So as we wrap that up, let's go ahead and jump into our community section. No questions and no iTunes reviews, sadly, this week. And I realized we're actually approaching a milestone here. So we've got 115 written reviews and 140 ratings. We're really close to reaching up to that 150 mark, and I would love to get there with your help. That can only happen, though, if you take a couple of minutes and jump on over, especially if you're listening on the Apple Podcasts app. Just take the couple of minutes real fast, or when you get to your destination, don't do it if you're driving, to just leave a couple words and let people know what you think of the show and if you like it. It really helps other people who haven't listened to the show or found the Happy Hearthstone yet be able to find it. So please go do that, and would love to read any reviews on the show. And to garner your review, I do have a song for you. And, you know, I haven't thrown it back in a while, so I felt like I really needed to, like, severely throw back. Like, I'm talking 1963 throwback, okay? So here we go. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, yeah. About Super Collider. I can swing in. Not a big deal. With this much armor, I don't need to heal. I'll tank up like I know I should. You're so much value. So much value. Every night, your board position's not good. One swing from this, and you'll know what you should have done differently. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I was wrong. Yeah, yeah. The Super Collider. Bear, no, 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 no. There you go. Okay, so Super Collider, 5 mana, 1/3 warrior weapon. It is an epic, of course. And in case you can't remember this from our review episodes the past couple of weeks, Super Collider's effect says, after you attack a minion, force it to attack one of its neighbors. I remember talking about this card with Steve and just thinking, like, this seems weird. This doesn't seem like the kind of removal that you really want. And here's the deal. It is still very dependent on board position. And if you're playing against Warrior, especially Odd Warrior, you probably know now that you need to play around this because there are lots of lists that are running one or even two of these. I feel like two might be a bit too much, but because Odd Warrior has been so the standard right now for Warrior decks, Super Collider's downside of having to attack into a minion really isn't that big of a deal. I mean, there are very often times, I've been playing a list for a few days now that is running this, and there are many times that on turn five, you've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 20 armor. And that's a bit crazy, but it's true. So in the worst case that you actually have to attack into like a mountain giant or something like that, it's okay. And I think I really didn't see that ahead of time, that Odd Warrior would be playing so much, and that this would fit just firmly in that, especially for Odd Warrior that doesn't have execute. This is great to have a few options for that. So really interesting card. Don't necessarily go out and craft it yet. It's still a bit too early. And in fact, there are lots of great options. I only got one of these from my pack so far. So I've subbed in a Gore Howl whenever I've seen a second one on a list. And Gore Howl does a lot of good. So I haven't been displeased with that by any stretch. So again, with all the armor, I don't mind attacking into seven different minions, which typically I do. So Super Collider definitely deserves a second look. And Super Collider, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I undervalued you so heavily. All right, well, let's go ahead and close things out. I want to remind you, as always, that you are the happy Hearthstone. I hope that you really, that you never get tired of that, that it never falls on deaf ears, because it's the truth. This show is 100% dependent on you. The fact that you listen really means so much to me, and I want you to feel a sense of pride and a sense of ownership, honestly. This is not just something that I do that you just, you know, listen to passively necessarily. You're an active part of this community by listening. And I so appreciate that. And I especially appreciate everybody who has jumped into the Patreon over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and is making this show possible. The truth is that, you know, I would continue this show without the Patreon, but having that allows me to dedicate more time to this. And I've continued to set goals that we can reach together as a community. There's great stuff you can get in there. Like the $5 level really is kind of the best value. I think you're getting exclusive weekly content from me. And, you know, I tend to spend at least an hour or two on each of those. So it's not, they're shorter videos, but being able to, you know, edit them and stuff takes a while. You know, the video I released this week actually was something that's pretty obvious about the Hearthstone ladder and a very not so obvious way to get better at combating that obvious thing. So, you know, if that interests you, go check it out. I feel like $5 is a steal for what you're getting for that. And it, you know, it helps to support the show as it is. I, of course, always have to send a huge thank you to my friends Red Knight, Risen, and John M. If you haven't followed Red Knight or Risen on Twitch, please do, because both of them are fantastic streamers. Actually, Red Knight does day streams, and Risen, I think Risen's typically on at night. I know he's there's nap times also that he's usually on. But if you want to get better, watching both of those guys is a really great deal. John M. is our third producer. And John, I don't think you have a Twitch. If you do, I'd be happy to mention it on the show. Seriously, all three of you giving at the level that you do, it's helped us to reach a lot of our goals much faster. So thank you so much for doing that and continuing to be a part of this show in the way that you are. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Andrew is Living. You can find me on Twitch at Andrew is Living. If you missed the streams this past weekend, I'm sorry. I do have random streams here and there. So if you're following me and turn on notifications, you'll get a little message whenever that's happening. Or you can join us at the Happy Hearthstone Discord, which there's a link for in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. And I always try to post on there when I'm going live as well. You can join our awesome Google Plus community. We've got a YouTube channel. You can find all those links at thehappyhearthstone.com. Again, just need to throw a quick shout out for the giveaway that we're doing as I'm closing this up. Maybe you were thinking when I said it earlier, oh yeah, I need to do that when I'm done. Go over to thehappyhearthstone.com and enter to win 15 Boomstay packs. I hope someone from our community wins that. Regardless, I'm really excited to give those away, so you can go and enter. And hey, if you've been thinking about being on this show, I do these solo shows every other week, but next week we'll have a guest from our community on, and if you would like to join me for an episode, please don't hesitate to shoot me an email at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. I'll get you on the calendar. We'll talk through things. If you're a little bit unsure of how it would go, don't worry about it. We'll have a blast. It'll be a lot of fun. Would love to do that. So that's all I have got for you for this week. Hey, sincerely, enjoy the meta. Enjoy the booming. And win yourself some free packs, I guess, from me. I don't want to tell you to just outright go and get more packs because, you know, many of us got the pre-orders and can't necessarily afford more of them. But I really hope you are enjoying the cards that you got. Oh, enjoy the puzzles. That's happening today. I can't wait. I think it's going to be a ton of fun jumping in and trying out all the different stuff. And thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.